Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel in Matthew 2, we heard a moment ago. And going into the house, they, the wise men, saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is God's word. All throughout the history of the church, and I can find this going all the way back to maybe the 4th century, so we're talking 1700 years ago, the church has recognized Jesus as holding three offices, three callings to which he is given by our Father. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. Those were the three offices in the Old Testament to which a person was anointed. You could be anointed to be a prophet. You could be anointed to be a priest. You could be anointed to be a king, anointed with oil. And the name Christ is the Greek word that's used for Messiah in the Hebrew, and they're both referring to Jesus as the anointed one. So when you call Jesus Christ, you're calling him Messiah, you're calling him anointed one. So it's fitting that Jesus would do all three of these things, be a prophet, be a priest, and be a king. And St. Matthew illustrates what it means for us that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king when he describes the gifts that the Magi bring. Now, the gospel for tonight calls them wise men. Sometimes they're called kings. They probably weren't really kings. They were more like astrologers. They were practitioners of witchcraft and divination. They read the stars to try to divine the future, to try to predict what was to come, to see if it was written in the heavens. And they bring these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And all three of those gifts that they bring to Jesus. Now, first of all, we got to correct a misconception. There were not. I know our nativity scene has three wise men. When we put them up out on the side of the church, we didn't get it up this year. We have three camels. It's always, we sing, we three kings of Orient are. There were probably many and many of them. Could have been dozens, could have been hundreds of these people that came from the east to worship Jesus. These astrologers, these practicers of black magic. They were the most unlikely people to come to Jesus. And we don't know if they knew the significance of the gifts that they brought. But all three of them do tie in nicely to who Jesus has come to be. Who he has come to be for you. He has come to be your prophet, your priest, and your king. And in this season of Epiphany, which begins today, we reflect on God's glory, which is shown by the star, by that light in the sky that the wise men followed to find their way to Jesus. The word Epiphany literally means revealing. In this season, we see Jesus revealed in glory. He is revealed as the one who is born of woman and yet is also truly God. Spoiler, this coming Sunday, we'll observe the baptism of our Lord. You'll hear the Father refer to him as his Son with whom he's well pleased. He's not just Son of Mary, he's also Son of God the Father, one with Father and Holy Spirit. And then during this Epiphany season, we will hear of Jesus' miracles. Of him revealing himself, remember Epiphany, revealing himself as one who has power beyond that of a mere man. because he is also God. And he shines the glory of his divinity and his power and his majesty in this Epiphany season. So the gifts the Magi bring, the three kings, the wise men, again, there weren't really three, but the three gifts they bring were gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we usually say prophet, priest, and king. I'm going to reverse them. I'm going to do king, and then priest, and then prophet. Because the first one is gold. That, of course, is the kingly gift, right? You honor a king with a gift of gold because it's befitting of someone who is royal. And the Bible makes clear to us that this Jesus who has come, he is definitely a king. Because the kings come down, the Magi, they come to bow down before him. To worship him, we read. You wouldn't worship a priest, you wouldn't worship a prophet, but you might worship a king, or at least bow down in reverence before him, if he's the sort of king which Scripture has foretold. Paul writes in Colossians, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Jesus is the one who is head of all things. And don't we call him King of kings and Lord of lords? He is worthy of being adored as a king, of receiving reverence, receiving our worship, receiving gifts of gold. In John 18, Jesus himself says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting for me that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Jesus is always talking about his kingdom. Well, you don't have a kingdom unless you're a king. And that is who Jesus is. The king, and the gift of gold acknowledges him as our king, the one who rules over us. He rules over us now in his word, giving us gifts of grace and love and forgiveness. Word that covers our sins and says, you are forgiven. Body and blood given in bread and wine that give you exactly what they say, the body and blood of Christ to take away all of your sins. That's what he does here in his kingdom, in this world, in his church. But he also holds before us a kingdom that will last forever, a kingdom of glory where we will share in his light, where he will be the light by which we live, where we will stand before the throne of God and live in his kingdom forever, and he will rule over us. And we will be the glad and willing servants for all eternity. Bear with me a second. I'm going to sneeze. Turn off my mic for a second. Sorry for the interruption. That was better than sneezing with the mic on. It was a perfect pause because the second gift that the kings, the magi, the wise men brought to our Lord was frankincense. Frankincense, a kind of incense. Now, many of you know what incense is. Some churches have incense. We don't use it here, but I admit when we do evening prayer during Advent, I would like to add some incense to it. Very powerful smell. Goes back to the Old Testament when the priests in the temple would burn incense. And as the smoke would go up from the incense, it was a reminder that our prayers go up to God. And he receives them. Just as we would smell the incense, so our prayers enter God's nose, if you will. He receives them. He hears them and receives them. You also had the smell that went up, believe it or not, from the sacrifices that were being offered in the temple. Bulls and calves and goats and birds and all different types of animals being sacrificed there in the temple and in its courtyards. The aroma would have been something to behold. And who was it that oversaw all these sacrifices and all this burning of incense? It was the priests, specifically the high priest who oversaw all of it. And wouldn't you know, as Jesus the child receives frankincense, We read in Scripture that Jesus is our great high priest. In Hebrews, the author says, "It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself up." In other words, Jesus is our high priest because he offers the sacrifice that ends all sacrifice. Our worship doesn't have the killing of lambs and goats and bulls, the shedding of blood and the burning of sacrifices, because our sacrifice was made by the priest himself. Never before Jesus had there been a high priest who gave his own life as the sacrifice. And yet that is what he did. He gave his own life on the altar of the cross. He shed his blood to be what St. John calls in his first letter. He says he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's a sacrifice. Who offers sacrifices? The priests. And so Jesus receives frankincense. Finally, he receives myrrh. Now, this one's a little more difficult to connect. Gold and frankincense, you can kind of see gold, well, king, right? Frankincense, yeah, incense, priests, that makes sense. How does myrrh connect to Jesus being a prophet? Well, consider what life was like for a prophet in the Old Testament leading up into the days of Jesus. Jesus himself told us when he was nearing his death on the cross, just a couple of days before he would be arrested and nailed to the cross during that Holy Week, he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." A prophet, as we read through Scripture, is often one who finds his life in danger because people don't like the message that he has to deliver. A prophet has a very good chance of being put to death for the word he speaks. And myrrh was an embalming spice used to preserve the bodies of the dead so that they did not decay. By giving Jesus myrrh, you have to wonder what his parents might have thought. We don't know. That's only speculation. But here's a gift. It was probably valuable, but it was a gift meant for embalming a person who had died. And that was precisely what awaited Jesus. He was not just a prophet. He was the prophet. In the words of John, he is the Word that became flesh. He's not only the prophet, he is the Word that all prophets before him had delivered. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said in Luke 4, "because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." Jesus is the prophet who speaks the word of God because he is the word of God. He speaks faithfully, he speaks truthfully, and in him, God reveals himself to us. Prophet, priest, and king is who this Jesus came to be. Not just any prophet, priest, and king, but your prophet, priest, and king. Maybe you didn't know you had such things. Maybe you didn't know you had a prophet. You do. Jesus Christ. Maybe you didn't know you had a priest. It's not a term we use here in the Lutheran church a whole lot, but you do. Christ is your high priest. And you do have a king. Christ who reigns over all from his Father's right hand and will come again in his glory to reveal to us, to give us an epiphany, a revealing of all that eternity has to offer. It is God's glory to give you Jesus, the one who is our prophet, our priest, and our king. And he gives him to you tonight and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.